Welcome to God Seeker. This is Elizabeth Folgaro. The current message? Leave me alone. I confess that I am a work in progress. I will ever be a work in progress, a great grand lump of clay in the hands of God, who as the extraordinary and supreme potter begins to form me, and then I must be formed again. I confess to being a product of my culture still in ways which I have not yet recognized, and where I still need to be brought into alignment more with the Spirit of God in my attitudes and actions. Places I am ignorant and still unaware. I am wholly human, which makes me wholly humble because I know I am not that perfection which alone God can be. All I can do is pursue God with a constant readiness and listening. Thus the sharing now of one more way, one more place where God needed to help me through, to see me where I was and nudge me toward a more God-imitating way of thinking. Trust me, there have been many such moments, and I anticipate many more. The problem was that I had slipped into a bad attitude, a bitter one. Born of a sort of giving up without admitting it, sourced in a sort of hopelessness which had snuck in, the risk of becoming bitter is there for each of us. It is that temptation in weariness of wanting to retreat, of considering pulling back from the front lines of working for God because, well, you are discouraged. For me, there was a confluence of factors which caused me to allow the thoughts to encroach, and woe they did. Why even keep trying? What for, anyway? Though there were a group of factors which caused me to slip into this place, one of the greatest issues was the growing disillusionment, which created that edge of bitterness toward fellow human beings. There is no human culture that will ever imitate Christ perfectly. But the culture into which I had been born in the United States of America now seemed to be changing in ways that seemed to take it even further away from my Lord and my God. The culture seemed to be changing in ways that put emphasis and value on that which in God's eyes, according to my interpretation, was not important. These ways of understanding life and living hurt my heart because they seemed cocky in their assumptions that this way of living was best. All this done with an obliviousness to God. Sometimes this was a blatant obliviousness, and on purpose, literally declaring, I don't care what people say God wants. Other times, and I'm not sure what seemed worse to me, there was a way of living modeled by Christians, which did not seem very Christ-like. It seemed to mix together what people said was important with the way of life Christ modeled, asking God then to bless human goals. The pull and trend around me was seemingly pulling people away from God's way of life, exactly when I was working so hard to understand Him and His way more, so I could live, God willing, a more Christ-like existence. This was disheartening. No one seemed to want my God. Not really. Everywhere I looked, what I could see, what seemed to stand out, was how they were insulting Him, by acting as if they knew everything, by setting priorities and plans without Him, by asking His blessing on whatever it was they wanted in the moment, without regard for what His plan and His desire and His longing might be. Me, 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 me. Get. Rude. As one more sign of how prevalent this was becoming, indeed there seemed to now be a plethora of rude drivers who seemed to only care that they got where they wanted to go without regard for anyone else on the road. I watched with an upset stomach and horror once as a speeding, weaving car clipped the front of another car, denting it, as it forced its way into a lane where there was no room for it. But the driver didn't care, and didn't stop to make amends for the damage that had been caused. Where was love? Didn't anyone care about anyone anymore? It made me sick. It added to my longing to retreat. Why try? No one wanted God anyway. And instead of loving people as Jesus would, and without being aware, by thinking these things, I was disregarding these others, judging them, and not wanting to do almost anything with anyone anymore. Just let me retreat into your creation, Lord. Let me live alone and join with all creation in its song to you. Just no more people, please. Well, this was not a Jesus way of thinking. And I think I knew it at the time. But bitterness was winning. My heart hurt. I was tired. And I was succumbing to this ungodly way of thinking. But I had taken on a load which was not mine, and in my childlikeness as compared to God, I had misconstrued the situation. There were multiple steps along which he had to lead me before I could begin to love more again, to appreciate each person, who they were and wherever they were on their life journey, which to God included eventual relationship with him. One of his first steps with me was an inner nudge. Perhaps you have already experienced what I'm talking about. Gentle, kind, but firm. I was mad at them for ignoring my Lord and my God, for living as if he weren't there, for taking his name in vain. To this, Holy Spirit whispered his response to my heart. He knew. He knew what they were saying and thinking. Even more, he wanted me to know this was normal. It had always been, and for most people, it would always be part of the process. God was not offended by how they treated him. He still loved them where they were. He did not stop pursuing them. And after they found him and sought him more, well, then the inner shift could come for them, because they were making themselves available to him. Then they'd be truly paying attention. For now, I did not have to defend God. He already had everything handled. Next came God's loving chastisement. Hadn't I lived in this same way as well? Isn't this also where I had begun? Why was I acting as if I were somehow better? Hadn't it been because of his grace that I now found myself in a different place with a different attitude and focus? God wanted me to get back in the game, to continue to be willing to be present as his witness. But he wanted my focus to change, to be more about his love to others. Now the question, what did his love look like? It would take a lifetime to learn about his love fully. But one of its foundational principles was humility. It was important for me to stay in remembrance of my own ongoing imperfections, not in a false, dumbed-down sort of way where I'm self-deprecating, but truly remembering and being aware so that I could appreciate every other person wherever he or she was on their own personal journey closer to God. And then I was to trust God. He had never said to flee behind the gates and hide from the people he so dearly loved, but he called each of us to stay engaged in the fight, even when most of the time it might feel or look as if there were no progress, especially when the laws of the land were not the ones that seemed to mirror his way. But then, wasn't this also the same sort of place where true personal heart change could occur? Because it was a choice and not a law. Choice. Each person coming to that place, as Holy Spirit had designed, where there could and would be greater recognition of who God was and a turning to him, an awakening to the greater things where he ordains and wants our focus to be. This awakening season, which frankly would never end as each of us learned more and better how to follow where he was leading, it would be an ongoing, never finished progression. Love one another as I have loved you. This remained his message. He did not ask me to judge people, to qualify and categorize them. Just be present to them as he willed. He would handle the rest. So I intentionally picked up his hand again, more than ever before, and I let him begin to teach me more, love his way. And as said, that too is a process where I can humbly say, he is helping, and there is no way I am done yet. Listen to the song Master Redeemer from the Walk on Water album. You can find the song Master Redeemer on my YouTube channel. Just search under my name, Elizabeth Folgaro. You can also find it on various streaming services and always on CD. Let's finish with how Jesus answers the question of one of the Jewish leadership regarding what's most important. It's found in the Gospel written by St. Matthew, chapter 22, verses 35 through 40. And one of their number, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which kind of commandment is great and important, the principal kind in the law? Some of commandments are light, which are heavy? And Jesus replied to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and intellect. This is the great, most important principle and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. These two commandments sum up, and upon them depend all the law and the prophets. Thank you for joining in. God Seeker Messages are sponsored by Eagle's Nest Foundation. This is Elizabeth Folgaro. I am praying for you. Until the next time, listen to the song Master Redeemer until it is your prayer. And keep seeking God.